I'm Rex Lashford, and it's Radio InfoWeb at radio.infoweb.net. We're streaming to you live 24 hours a day, 8 days a week, from New York City. And it's time for our DayPage segment for July 10th, 2013. And for this DayPage segment, we're just going to allow Edward Snowden to speak for himself in his own words. This comes from part two of his interview with The Guardian's Mark Greenwald, filmed by Laura Poitras in the hotel in Hong Kong where he was holed up when this whole thing began. And it's really worth a listen.
Have you given thought to what it is that the U.S. government's response to your conduct is in terms of what they might say about you, how they might try to depict you?
I think the government's going to launch an investigation. I think they're going to say I've committed grave crimes. I've, you know, violated the Espionage Act. They're going to say, you know, I've aided our enemies in making them aware of these systems. But that argument can be made against anybody who reveals information that points out mass surveillance systems, because fundamentally they apply equally to ourselves as they do to our enemies.
When you decided to enter this world, did you do so with the intention of weaseling your way in and becoming a mole so that you could one day undermine it with disclosures? Or what was your perspective and mindset about it at the time that you first sort of got into this whole realm?
No, I joined the intelligence community when I was very young, sort of the government as a whole. I enlisted in the army shortly after the invasion of Iraq, and I believed in the goodness of what we were doing. I believed in the nobility of our intentions to free oppressed people overseas. But over time, over the length of my career, as I watched the news and I increasingly was exposed to true information that had not been propagandized in the media, that we were actually involved in misleading the public and misleading all publics, not just the American public, in order to create a certain mindset in the global consciousness. And I was actually a victim of that. America is a fundamentally good country. We have good people with good values who want to do the right thing. But the structures of power that exist are working to their own ends to extend their capability at the expense of the freedom of all publics.
Can you talk about what you think some of the most important primary documents are and what they reveal?
The primary disclosures are the fact that the NSA doesn't limit itself to foreign intelligence. It collects all communications that transit the United States. There are literally no ingress or egress points anywhere in the continental United States where a communication can enter or exit without being monitored and collected and analyzed. The Verizon document speaks highly to this because it literally lays out they're using an authority that was intended to be used to seek warrants against individuals, and they're applying it to the whole of society by basically subverting a corporate partnership through major telecommunications providers, and they're getting everyone's calls, everyone's call records, and everyone's internet traffic as well. On top of that, you've got Boundless Informant, which is sort of a global auditing system for the NSA's intercept and collection system that lets us track how much we're collecting, where we're collecting, by which authorities, and so forth. The NSA lied about the existence of this tool to Congress and to specific congressmen in response to previous inquiries about their surveillance activities. Beyond that, we've got PRISM, which is a demonstration of how the U.S. government co-opts U.S. corporate power to its own ends. Companies like Google, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, They all get together with the NSA and provide the NSA direct access to the back ends of all of the systems you use to communicate, to store data, to put things in the cloud, and even just to send birthday wishes and keep a record of your life. And they give NSA direct access that they don't need to oversee, so they can't be held liable for it. I think that's a dangerous capability for anybody to have, but particularly an organization that's demonstrated time and time again that they'll work to shield themselves from oversight.
Was there a specific point in time that you can point to when you crossed the line from contemplation to decision making and commitment to do this?
I grew up with the understanding that the world I lived in was one where people enjoyed a sort of freedom to communicate with each other in privacy without it being monitored, without it being measured or analyzed or sort of judged by these shadowy figures or systems anytime they mention anything that travels across public lines. I think a lot of people of my generation, anybody who grew up with the internet, that was their understanding. As we've seen the internet and government's relation to the internet evolve over time, we've seen that sort of open debate, that free market of ideas, sort of lose its domain and be shrunk.
But what is it about that set of developments that makes them sufficiently menacing or threatening to you that you are willing to risk what you've risked in order to fight them?
I don't want to live in a world where everything that I say, everything I do, everyone I talk to, every expression of creativity or love or friendship is recorded, and that's not something I'm willing to support. It's not something I'm willing to build, and it's not something I'm willing to live under. So I think anyone who opposes that sort of world has an obligation to act in the way they can. Now, I've watched and waited and tried to do my job in the most policy-driven way I could, which is to wait and allow other people, you know, wait and allow our leadership, our figures, to sort of correct the excesses of government when we go too far. But as I've watched, I've seen that it's not occurring. And in fact, we're compounding the excesses of prior governments and making it worse and more invasive. And no one is really standing to stop it.
Edward Snowden, in his own words, part two of the interview conducted by Mark Greenwald of The Guardian, June 6th, at a hotel in Hong Kong. And that's Day Page for today, July 10th, 2013. I'm Rick Slatchford, produced by Peter Patriot. I had to change his name on Facebook to Peter Patriotti because they didn't believe that his name was Peter Patriot. So now he's using a fake name. We'll see you the next time the big guy in the sky takes out the big book and turns the page to a new day page.